Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 605. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick agent, Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is laying over by my desk right now. About an hour away from his feeding time, so he might be flipping out here in a second. And I'm sick, so I'm a little off my game. I am sick once again. Since December, it's just I keep getting fucking sick. It's fucking annoying. I've got... I'm assuming a cold. Not real sure, but I mean, it seems like a cold. I'm really fucking congested. And blowing my fucking nose constantly. And A lot of phlegm. And my sinuses are really swollen to the point where I look in the mirror, I can see that I've got a very round face. A lot more round than normal. It's just all puffed out. Puffed, you know. A cherubic face, if you will. Almost like a boozing face. Although, you know, here lately, the last like 2 weeks I've had more alcohol than usual. I don't think that's the cause though, because all of a sudden overnight it was just like boom. A guy I work with yesterday, I didn't start really feeling it until after work, but a coworker did point out, "You look really tired," and I didn't really feel tired. I'm guessing it was just like I already had my face was already showing that there was something off. There was something rotten in the state of Denmark. And I had no idea. I mean, I always just look like shit at work. I mean, I'm welding. Sometimes I get some blackface going on, you know, from all the soot and slag and wonderful things. But I'm pretty good about not doing that these days. Pretty clean working. My face isn't too bad, actually, because the reason why I used to get stuff all over my face is a lot of times I'll have, like, an itchy face. I mean, I'm getting burnt, you know, so it gets a little itchy. The face gets a little itchy. And initially, I used to just, like, scratch my face with my glove. Well, the gloves are get covered. they turn black real quick. And then you wipe your face with that, you're going to get grease and all kinds of good stuff all over that. And I've learned real quickly to, ditch the glove for a second and then scratch my face and then put my hand back in the glove. It's much easier that way. Anywho, on the plus side, it looks like I won't need a second job now. It's back to normal hours and possibly even overtime here shortly. So, man, we'll be able to really fun things here at the penthouse. I get a nice little run of overtime, man. I will hopefully get some theater seating downstairs. That's definitely a plan. That is a goal. Hopefully no guitars coming my way before then. Although, you know, I want that DG335. I want that. I still want that IOMI SG. There's, you know, but it's, I got to have different priorities, you know. Big thing is, you know, paying debt would be a wise decision, but we'll see. We'll see how that works. last week after the show, I did go to the casino because I believe I recorded before going to the casino. I think it was Friday, actually, I recorded last week. But I went to the casino, the Ameristar over there in, I guess that's considered St. Charles, where that's at. had a good time. I did not come out ahead. I had the $100 that I put aside, and that went rather quickly. I was there with my buddy Pee Wee, of course, and... Man, it was the initial hundo. I tried, you know, watching some YouTube videos and taking like people's strategies in mind. Go with the low volatility machines and ones with five lines and minimum bet of 25 cents. I went with that and I was like, man, It was that his strategy did not pay off for me whatsoever. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. You know, some nights it's just not your night. And I was switching from machine to machine. And I was almost through the $100. Pretty much. And then I decided, you know what? I had more money in the bank from working the two jobs than really I thought I was going to. I mean, we were able to hit production bonuses pretty much every day while our hours were cut and stuff. So, I mean, and then I was working the second job. So I had some money in the bank. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I can pull out another 50. And then they only, the ATMs, you could only pull it out in multiples of 20. So I ended up pulling out 60. It was like a $9 service fee. So I ended up basically taking out another 70 bucks or 69, if you will. I took out 69. I ended up getting ahead and getting back some of the money from that original 100. And we were there for several hours. But in the end, I ended up losing all the money that I had taken out. But we had a good time, though, Pee-wee and I. And it had been well over a decade since I went to a casino to gamble. And I'll tell you what, right when I about lost that $100, Pee-wee was going to be there for quite a while. That was the big thing. I didn't want to just go, yeah, I'm done, and then just, like, wait around while he's playing games. I didn't want to do that, so I was like, all right, I'll take out some more money because I can afford to do so. And I definitely felt like, oh yeah, this is why I don't gamble at casinos. I don't like the feeling of losing. But yeah, there was things that I didn't realize going in there. I did not realize that you could still smoke in casinos. I'm just so used to going to public spaces now, and smoking is not allowed indoors. That was foreign to me. I know that they do have a non-smoking area, but I think it's very small area. When I left there, man, I mean, I smelled like a fucking ashtray. And I had to take like a shower upon getting home. And even the next day, I still had the smell of smoke in my nostrils. It was not pleasant. I didn't think it would bother me as much, seeing as that, you know, I weld all the time and breathe in carcinogens from that shit all the time. And, yeah, that was not... As it is, though, cigarettes still fucking suck. Welding all the time and everything has made it to where I can't smell that well, but I can still smell cigarettes. This is, yeah, it hasn't affected that. Although I kind of realized that working back in Magnet, and where I did go have break with the smokers because I wanted to talk to my smoking friends, and then getting home and realized, oh, man, I fucking smell like cigarettes. But not as bad as I did as the casino. At least we were outside. In the casino, indoors, smoking cigarettes, oh, man, there's no getting it off you. It's just covered in tar. Yeah, there was one moment where there was this Pee-wee almost got bowled over by this, or pretty much got bowled over by a very small Asian lady who looked like she might have lived there. I mean, she looked like she was camped out there for like at least a good week straight. There was it looked like she might have had some guns too. I wouldn't have fucked with this woman, but she was clearly on a mission. She knew exactly where her machine was. She knew where that winning was going to happen. And she just fucking almost, like, without saying excuse me or anything, I mean, just fucking pushed through him. He was like, where the fuck did she come from? But that's, I mean, there was a lot of people there at a casino that looked like they pretty much lived there. I mean, there was, like, a lot of older dudes, older white guys. They're like camped out with a bunch of drinks and stuff at whatever game they're playing and shit. Look like they've fucking been there for a good month or what have you. And there was one guy that came up to us, and he's like, "Somebody took my took my machine and my money," and just like expecting, I don't know, us to help him track it down or something. I don't know what he was expecting, but as he's walking away, we're like, "What the fuck, man? Why would you leave your machine with your money in it? You just hit the cash out thing." Like, why would you do that? I guess he thought he owned the machine. There's some very weird shit going on, you know, in casinos. I could feel myself, though, almost becoming a degenerate. I mean, I fucking play Powerball all the time and Mega Millions. I haven't got my Powerball ticket yet today. I did not win Mega Millions last night, but it's over $1 billion now, which technically only make like 500 something mil, you know, so. Anyway. I know if I got like a big win in it, I could see myself getting a taste for the gambling, but I hate losing so damn much. Like when I blew through that initial 100, it was like, ooh, yeah, I am fucking, I'm not feeling this. But it was over so quickly, I think it was the problem. Once I got that other 60 or whatever out, and was able to play for a while, it was more enjoyable because it was, you know, kept it going. I would definitely attack things a little bit differently next time and not listen to some fucking YouTuber tell me how to do the strategy. It'll be a different YouTuber. I'll go to a different YouTuber. And, oh, yeah, I have to keep pausing to blow my nose. But, hey, at least I'm pausing. And not doing it in the it's just not great audio, you know. But yeah, that was the casino, man. I could see myself doing it again, going with Pee Wee. But I get the appeal to it. I'm not real big on gambling at casinos. I think it's probably good. I've never won like a large amount at a casino. Because if I had ever gone there and won like $1,000, $2,000, I think that might cause an addiction for me. Hell, I've never won at Powerball. Other than like, I know I've gotten $7 quite often. And I think, I forgot what's the next up. I think I've done a little bit more than that. But $7 is pretty much most I've ever won. But it's like I use my mentality of distance running for that. I mean, like, if you just keep going, eventually you'll finish, right? If you just keep forward momentum, you just keep getting that ticket, eventually it might take 329 million attempts, but you'll get there. I'd have to live for a long time to be able to play that many times, though. Not to mention, you know, I'd spend $660 million, basically, if I played that many times to win. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, the casino, man. That is, I mean, I'll be going back, I imagine, at some point with Pee-wee, but it's not something I want to make a regular habit of. Also with the cigarettes, man, that's another big turnoff for me. I don't want just to smell like an ashtray all day, and that's just not nice. And then of course did go to the Blues game with Shelley last Sunday on St. Pat's, of course, the 12-year anniversary of the Slapbox podcast, of our initial recording. Anywho, that was cool. The Blues kicked the shit out of the Mighty Ducks, if you will, the Anaheim Ducks. They weren't looking so mighty that night. The score was only 4-2. But the Ducks scored the first goal, And then Blues scored 4 unanswered, and the Ducks didn't score again until they pulled their goalie in the last, I don't know, couple minutes of the game. And, like, in the last few seconds, I think, is when they scored their goal. So, I mean, it was basically pretty much all Blues after that the first goal of the Blues. I mean, it was pretty great. They were doing really good on the power play. We had had the all-inclusive terrace seats, which were really nice. I mean, you get to eat and drink as much as you want. But the woman we had, the only kind of sucky part is the woman we had that was, like, taking care of our area, because Shelly and Abina have gone to many games, and they know the areas. Like, they said, like, yeah, we got, like, the kind of the worst. She seemed nice enough, but she wasn't that good at, like, bringing us stuff for the food. I mean, I got plenty of food. I had a hamburger, a hot dog, waffle fries. I had ice cream. I had plenty of food, and I had, like, 3 seltzers. It was, like, black cherry Budweiser seltzers. I think it was Budweiser. Putting that out. Anyway, I had ample, and I didn't feel like I was going to explode afterwards. I did buy a pretty sweet hat there. I didn't see the shop that I went into. I didn't see any green jerseys. I'm sure they probably had some somewhere. Not that I need it. I already got my green Blues jersey, which I was rocking. I was rocking that. And, I got kind of like a gold hat with the blue note on it. And, it was kind of a toss-up. There was several good things in their shop to buy, and they had some sales on the jerseys, too. They had some retro jerseys that were, like, half off, man. That was really tempting. I didn't do that, but I did buy, like, the hat. The hat was, like, $37, or the jerseys, even with, like, the half off or whatever it was, like, 100-something. Not bad for a jersey, though, you know? It was a toss-up between that hat with, like, the same, like, gold with the blue note, and then there was the gold hat with, like, the trumpet. And it was kind of a toss-up, but I thought the blue note looked a little bit better on there. Thought the blue note was slightly better. They had a green hat with the trumpet, too, but it was almost kind of trucker hat-ish, and I'm not big into the trucker hats. And it was, like, green with white, then the trumpet on it. They looked okay, but it was not my go-to. But yeah, it was a good game. Good game. It appears that they're doing better the more games I go to. Seeing the first 2 games I went to, they lost both of those. Good gap of time in between them, many years. But I feel like they're doing better as I go to more games. So I think if for the Blues to win, you know, I just got to keep going to more games. I think that's obviously the solution. It's all my fault that they win or lose. So if I just keep going there, you know, maybe if I go to the only one I could really go to before the end of the season, where it would be convenient for me to where I wouldn't have to work the next day. I'm off Good Friday, so if I go next week, Thursday night, they have a game then. You know, that could be good for them. They're not currently going to be in the playoffs. They're, as the time I'm recording this, which actually they're playing Minnesota right now, which no one has scored yet as the time. Oh, no. Sorry, this St. Louis has scored 1 goal. It's in the first period. Of course, by the time I put this out, it will, will either have won or lost. But at the time of this recording, they are sitting 4 points behind the Vegas Knights. And there's still several games to go yet. And they're playing the Knights. I believe the next game they have after this current one today is against the Knights. So, I mean, they could sneak in there, that last little wild card spot. It is possible. That would be fantastic. And, you know, maybe if I go next week, I think the Thursday's game is against the Calgary Flames. Pretty sure. And since it's a Thursday night game, they tend to be cheaper. And it's not a division rival. It's not, like, you know, it's not one of the just old school rivals, you know, like Chicago Blackhawks or the Detroit Red Wings. Those games always, you know, sell for high dollar. And I don't know why I said it like that. I am sick, and I'm a little out of it. Anywho, yeah. I may go to the next week's game. We'll see. I mean, I'm not feeling great. Hopefully, it dissipates within the next couple of days. I'm looking forward to another week, though, where I only work 4 days. I only worked 4 days this last week. I didn't work two jobs. It's pretty great. Got paid for all 5 days. Love that. And we made production bonuses for the 4 days I was there. So, I mean, we fucking hitting that shit. Making that money. Oh. Speaking of work. I don't want to get too involved into some of this stuff, but I am currently training to be a crane operator. I don't think I'm going to be doing it full time. I'm going to be doing it as a backup for our our guy on our lines when he's off and whatnot, or for him to just do something else, and then I go over there and just like take over. But I have no interest in doing crane outside of our current line. I mean, they lift some heavy stuff, and it's some of that stuff really makes me nervous. Our line, I don't think it'll be too bad. Not too concerned about doing it on our line. We don't have to lift the stuff very far. But I had the experience the other day of doing basically, we went in, watched videos, me and like two other guys that were training to operate crane. I got to watch some videos of basically what not to do, of stuff that happened inside our company. And they talked about, I don't know if this is the right company, but there's another company in Washington, WEG, that apparently it might not have been WEG. It might have been somebody else. I tried to look for the fucking video of this online. My foreman had told me that this was actually up on a video. Of this was on YouTube. I guess security cameras caught it. But apparently the guy knew his last day was coming. I guess he put in 2 weeks or whatever and decided to dress up as Peter Pan, like full on cosplay, Peter Pan, head to toe in the outfit, and then had like glitter in a bag, and rode their crane, like took the remote for the crane so no one could stop it, and he fucking rode the crane and was tossing glitter in all the presses around and shit. I was trying to find out more info on this online, because I was just word of mouth stuff from people at my work, and I was like, holy shit, that's fucking hilarious. You know, I would kill to see this fucking video. I've been unable to find anything about it on the internet. It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame. Apparently there is security cam footage of it. And, it didn't happen where I work. I wanted to be like, oh man, I think I know that guy. If I knew the guy, though, I'm sure I would have heard about it. I would think, like, I wouldn't do that. The only way I would do something stupid like that, which, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I kind of admire it, the fact that you got some balls to do something that crazy. No way would I ever do that unless, you know, I won the Powerball or something. Even then, like, that seems risky. I don't know how high he was riding up on the fucking crane and stuff. Hopefully it wasn't very high off the ground. I mean, it seems like a pretty batshit crazy thing to do. I would be a little concerned about my own safety and maybe the safety of the coworkers around. Definitely, I feel like you got to win some good money for that, because you do that. I mean, you're going to, I guess he already had another job lined up, but I would think they'd be like, so what'd you do on your last, you know, we heard something about you, you know, there's this YouTube video. Really, you're going to operate a crane for us? I don't think this is quite the, I don't think this job's going to be a fit for you. You know, I'd be a little concerned about what that would say to other employers. It would just doesn't seem like the best idea, the brightest thing to do. And, you know, any other future job seems like that could jeopardize that. And I need money, you know. The penthouse isn't cheap. I would not be, I would not do that. I know there was a incident many years ago. I think it happened during the lifetime of this podcast. We probably talked about it on here. There was a flight attendant that he decided he had enough. I don't know if he had put his 2 weeks or what the deal was. But when exiting the airplane, he hit the fucking thing on the plane to like put out the inflatable ramp thing, and he exited out via that, which I'm gonna have to, I'll have to look that up. Let's see, man quits airline. That probably would find it. That might. JetBlue. Oh, here we go. The JetBlue. That's what it was. Here we go. The JetBlue flight. JetBlue flight attendant incident occurred after. This is according to Wikipedia here. Occurred after JetBlue Airlines flight 1052, 1052 from Pittsburgh to New York City on August 9th, 2010. Oh, shit. This is before the podcast. Had landed at JFK Airport. Steven Slater, a veteran flight attendant, announced over the plane's public address system that he had been abused by a passenger and was quitting his job. He then grabbed and guzzled 2 beers and exited the plane by deploying the evacuation slide and sliding down it. Slater claimed to have been injured by a passenger when he instructed her to sit down. His account of the event was not corroborated by others who claimed he hip-checked the woman. see here. Slater claimed that a JetBlue flight 1052 taxi to a stop. Passenger stood up too early to retrieve her bag from the overhead compartment. She had been instructed repeatedly to remain seated. Despite this, the passenger continued to remove the bag, and in doing so, she hit Slater in the head with the bag. When asked for an apology, the passenger responded with profanity. Port Authority police concluded Slater's initial account of a confrontation was fabricated. As early as August 13th, investigators stated none of the dozens of passengers interviewed about the incident had corroborated his account. That's not looking good, anybody. A passenger reported that Slater went on the plane's public address system and used his own profanities. He stated, "I've been in this business 20 years, and that's it. I'm done." He then activated the emergency inflatable slide, exited the plane, and threw his tie on the tarmac before calmly walking to his Jeep. Man, throwing the tie down, like, fuck you. Anyway, later that day, Slater was arrested and charged with criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, and criminal trespass, to which he pleaded not guilty. The district attorney pursuing the case said Slater's actions were serious and could have killed or grievously injured anyone below the inflatable plastic chute. The Federal Aviation Administration, which certifies flight attendants, also investigated the incident. "Clearly, you're not supposed to pop the slides unless there's an emergency in the aircraft," said FAA spokesman Les Dorr. "We're continuing to investigate circumstances as well as any violations that may have occurred." Reversing his original declaration, "I'm done," Slater indicated that he had not resigned. Being sick is making it hard to read. and sought to continue his employment by JetBlue. On August 12th, he announced through his attorney that he would seek to return at some point prior to September 5th. Slater formally resigned from JetBlue, although it is disputed if he was terminated by JetBlue prior to this. I would assume he would be terminated. Yeah, does it say if he... I would imagine he had to pay out the ass and stuff. There's a... It's funny, like, drank some beers and shit beforehand. I feel like he probably drank some beers even before they mentioned that, like, before hitting the slide. I wonder if there's anything that happened to that fella. What does he do now? I'm assuming he's not a flight attendant anymore. That is, read more into it. Like, yeah, it just seems like I feel like he might have been on something initially. That's, seems like not the, like he's not in the right mindset somehow. I didn't see it in that, but I know that it said like it cost them like $30,000 or something to like reset all that shit up or something. I don't know. For some reason the number sticks in my head, but I mean, it was from 2010. I don't know how accurate my memory is. Usually it's not very accurate. Either way, it seems like a real pain in the ass to reset all that up. I don't know if they got to get a new ramp, an inflatable slide, but yeah, you get a little bit troll over that. I mean, that is kind of a legendary "fuck you, I quit" moments, but which apparently he's like, you know, came to his senses afterwards, like, oh, I didn't really quit. No, I'm cool. I'm just gonna go back to work after this. I'm sure they're gonna be fine with that. Maybe suspend me for a couple of days. You know, whatever. It just seemed like, yeah, I mean, as it said in there in the Wikipedia, I mean, he did put people at risk. He could have fucking killed somebody by inflating that ramp or slide, what have you, if there would have been somebody from the airline, like crew underneath, could have killed him. Yeah, it's too risky, man. It's too risky. Like the Peter Pan guy, I mean, he could have hurt somebody. That's, which I might have mentioned this. I just kind of remembered. I think I may have mentioned this on a fairly recent podcast, but I tried to look up somebody shitting on somebody's desk because they thought they won the lottery. That was a fake story. Fake story. Somebody had to have done that at some point, though, right? Like shit on their boss's desk. They thought they won the lottery. That's another thing. Like, I'm pretty sure you're just gonna... I mean, it's disgusting. I don't know why you would do that. I mean, you'd really have to hate your boss to, like, shit on their desk. But I wouldn't want to do that. I don't know. It's just kind of nasty. I shit in a toilet, man. Like, fuck, Upper Deckum or something. Well, that would require, I guess, you'd have to go to his own personal toilet, or it could be a female boss, too. I mean, there's most dick bosses I find, though, are men. Let's be real. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know that. See, I've never been one to, like, have a big fuck you, I quit moment. I mean, it seems to me that, yeah. It's like, feels good in the moment, but at the end of the day, you tell everybody to go fuck themselves and all that stuff on your way out. That's really just going to hurt yourself in the short and long term. I mean, long term, maybe not so much, but the short term, good luck getting anybody else to hire you when you tell them all to go fuck themselves and rope them to a crane like Peter Pan, you know? I mean, you might, your other coworkers might think like, oh, that was badass and stuff. Way to go. That's what we all wanted to do. And you might get their admiration a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be good for you. I mean, it's not going to be good. That's just not advisable. And I did pass that the blues game and everything for birthday plans. I didn't get any corned beef and cabbage. I didn't end up hitting like Maggie O'Brien's or any Irish place on St. Pat's. But I did end up making corned beef and cabbage again. And I did it like how I did the previous year. Although it was a bit of a... I waited till the day after St. Pat's to get corned beef. That made it a little difficult. Schnucks didn't have any. So I went on Aldi's website. They didn't have any. And then I found out that Walmart did have still plenty of it in stock. So after already shopping at Schnucks, I ended up driving over to Walmart to get a brisket. And they had them on clearance, which kind of worked out. I paid less for the brisket, which was nice. I wanted bottles of Guinness because I was going to cook it in Guinness. And, of course, to have some Guinness on top of that. And then they only had like 12-pack bottles. They were out of the 6-pack bottles of Guinness. And there was cans. I didn't want cans. So I got like 12 bottles of Guinness. So I still have Guinness in my fridge. I'm good on Guinness for a while. It takes me a while to drink Guinness. I don't drink every night. And when I do, it's like maybe 2 beers if I'm going to have beers. So I'll be having Guinness for a while. And it turned out pretty good. I ended up bringing into work some for Jimmy Cro-Magnon, and he enjoyed it too. He says he's not a big cabbage guy, but he thought it was delicious. So got that. I had confirmation that it was good stuff. I ended up cooking the corned beef. I just took the brisket, poured in a full Guinness into a pot, like over the brisket, and then filled the rest with water, which I feel like I probably should just put 2 bottles of Guinness in there. Probably would have been enough to submerge the brisket. And but I mean, there was plenty of Guinness. I feel like I could have used a little bit more liquid, though, to really keep that brisket more submerged. But I brought the pot to a boil. I started to get it to boil. Once it started boiling, then I went down to a simmer and cooked it for like 3.5 hours-ish till the meat was just tender to where you could easily tear it apart with a fork. And then once that happened, I pulled the brisket out of the Guinness bath it was in and put it in a pot to the side. And then I put in cabbage and potatoes with the only seasonings I used on stuff. There was, of course, a seasoning packet in with the brisket that I tossed in initially when I was cooking the brisket. And then I had gotten some potatoes from Schnucks. They were like the... red potatoes that were in like a plastic bowl type thing that had, it's like parsley and some other stuff, parsley and garlic, I think, seasoning. I had taken that seasoning and then, tossed them and, I melted some butter and tossed the potatoes in the butter and the seasoning to get them, good and coated. And then I cooked them inside the, Guinness for about 25 minutes, and that was it. The biggest hassle was just like cleaning everything up. It had a little bit of a mess, you know, and came out good. I didn't go overboard with the cabbage. I think I had just cooked just the right amount of cabbage. Unfortunately, I couldn't find like a smaller head of cabbage. I ended up wasting quite a bit of cabbage. I didn't cook it all that I had. Usually on St. Pat's that you can get like smaller heads of cabbage, and they were all sold out of those. They just had like the big heads of cabbage. So I had a big head, you know what I'm saying? Big head. yeah, but it was good. And I did it just right by giving Jimmy Cro-Magnon some of that tasty goodness. And I had eaten for dinner the next night as well, corned beef and cabbage. And then I didn't have any, like a massive amount of leftover. There was nothing left over after that. which is perfect because cabbage left inside a fridge for like 2 to 3 days, it starts getting toxic, man. It is like, that shit'll kill you. It's like, it'll gas you. It's like breathing in, I would assume, what like mustard gas would do to you. Fucking kill you. Anyway. I did enjoy the corned beef and cabbage. And I drank Guinness with it as well. So, I mean, I was just Guinnessed out for Monday. And I kind of was saddened that, because initially I had Monday off. Initially, I had scheduled Monday and Tuesday off, but because of the having our hours cut, I ended up spending a vacation day like pretty much every week while our hours were cut. And I didn't, because of that, I canceled the vacation for Tuesday so I wouldn't waste all of my vacation time, and I didn't know how long our hours were going to be cut, so I didn't take 2 days off. Would have been kind of nice. Would have been kind of nice, but yeah. And I don't get a production bonus for days that I take vacation, you know? So I got to be there for that. And anywho, I don't know that I mentioned, I probably have, me trying to remember what I've talked about on a podcast like a week later or multiple weeks later, it's difficult. I feel like I can draw upon it more, like old conversations, if somebody else was involved. I might remember it more, but shit that I just say out loud to myself, basically, because nobody's in here other than the cat, and he's over there sleeping. Yeah, it's hard for me to remember that, but I did just buy 2 weeks ago, I'm not even sure when, the Helldivers 2. I know it's like quite the rage there for a little bit on the TikToks that sounds like might be shutting down soon thanks to the American government, which is, so it's just bullshit with that whole thing. I don't know if I want to really go down this rabbit hole, but I mean, it's fucking ridiculous that they're going after this, like, for the reasons that basically all the American social media networks, all the shit that they do, they're going after TikTok for. But they're saying, though, that the Chinese government somehow is stealing all of our data for this nefarious thing. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? So they can target ads at us? Like, what could they possibly do with the information they're gathering from TikTok about, like, my viewing habits? And then, like, saying about all the propaganda that it's selling. But it's from, like, individual users. It's just like YouTube. It's just like fucking Facebook and what have you. It's they don't need to own a social media network to like send propaganda like that. As they could just start a YouTube channel or something and pump out, or you know, go on Facebook, do like the Russian troll farms do. Like it's just a reason to fucking have it bought out by an American company to where they can then do with it as they will. And for, you know, American billionaires to have their fun with it. It's a crock of shit. But I'm not that, I don't watch much TikTok. I wouldn't watch TikTok at all, but like many of my friends watch a lot of TikTok, and then they, you know, share things from TikTok, so I end up watching shit on TikTok. But I'm an old school guy. I just watch a lot of shit on YouTube. Some of it's short stuff. Some of it's, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Yeah, and I totally lost where I was going with that. Anyway, back to Helldivers 2. That's where it was starting from. Had nothing really to do with the stuff going on with TikTok. I've gotten Helldivers 2. I played it a little bit. I haven't played a whole lot. It's fun. I don't know that I'm as into it as quite most of the internet seems to be. I mean, some of the videos are funny. There's some funny stuff that people do with the videos. It's good for that. I do like that it's Starship Troopers, basically. Is what it is. You're fighting to spread democracy by killing insects. It can be fun, though. I've played it with a few friends from work, and I've already paused like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times during this podcast to blow my nose, but it's just like keeps bug me. The gift that keeps on giving, and it's not a fun gift. Helldivers, though, I'd never played the original. I don't know how different it is from the original, but the sequel, The Deuce, as it is, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's difficult. I know that, especially if you go into a match by yourself. Like, I've just been keeping it on, like, trivial difficulty. And staying with the bugs. I haven't been, like, I tried one time to fight the automatons, and that shit was just way too difficult. I was getting my ass. I mean, I could not finish the mission. That shit was ridiculous. I like some of the weapons you get and everything. There's, like, the laser cannon, flamethrower. That's good fun stuff. But, I mean, it's a fun playthrough, especially if you got a team of guys or girls, ladies, or what have you. Some buddies, some compadres. Get a squad up and chit-chat while you're killing some bugs. Spreading democracy. What can you say? I need to get the jetpack. That's what I need. Fly around with the jetpack. Be all Boba Fett on there. There's some funny stuff on the game, though. It's got its moments. I have yet to get the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That is one that I'm definitely going to get at some point. But it's one that's like a solo game. I'm not going to be playing that online with friends. So it's not something that's like time sensitive, like, oh no. I mean, I could wait 5 years from now and play it, and it's still going to be great. I would imagine at some point this time this year, though, I'll be buying it. I mean, Final Fantasy VII, the OG, the original, come original, came out in 97, I do believe, on the PlayStation 1. Still my favorite game. That game is top to bottom. Fantastic. I mean, like, you get the honeybee. There's the group. Gay sex, that's pretty awesome if you go in that one room and, like, Cloud just gets sandwiched. I mean, you're not really seeing it, but that's not the main reason why I like the game. I mean, I just love Cloud Strife, the story behind it, the Sephiroth. I mean, great villain. It's just a great fucking game. And the story just, you know. I mean, it's not a perfect game, but it is my favorite game as far as... I don't know that any game is perfect. But I loved that game so goddamn much. yeah, so I'll get that game at some point. And looking forward to playing it. But it's not number one on the agenda as of yet. Right now, I don't have any other games that I'm currently playing. But there's definitely... I'm getting burnt out on Call of Duty, so there's definitely experimenting a little bit going on with some different games. I know at some point I got to get the game Stray that's been out for several years now. It's where you get to play as a cat. And I know I played the trailer stuff for Fox Mulder over here, and he really enjoyed it. So I feel like at some point I got to get that on the PlayStation or a big TV. So we can all freak out over it. That's always entertaining to, you know, have the cat get involved with a video game. Go attack the screen and everything. Adds a new element to playing a game. New strategy to avoid the cat. While you're playing as a cat. And man. Whew. It's getting hard for me to talk. This is definitely, stuff is draining the back of my throat. It's burning a little bit. It's burning. I'd love to put a cough drop in, but I know that I've done podcasts in the past where I had cough drops in, and just the audio is it's not fair. It's not right to do that. But I need something to coat my throat, you know. Nice little coating. Squirt something down there. You know what I'm saying? A little coat the throat. Coat the throat. Get to stop burning. I'm surprised I'm able to talk at this point. I figured I'd have like a raspy. Oh, no. Oh, no. As I'm recording this, the Minnesota Wild have scored a goal, and they've tied it up with the Blues. Let's hope that the Blues can come back from that. I mean, it's still anybody's game with a tie. It's the second period. Second period's almost over. I have faith in my Blues, though. I'm wearing a blue shirt right now. I'm bleeding blue. Damn it. Come on, guys. Let's get those playoffs. Get to the playoffs. As I'm losing focus. It sucks how... Hopefully by the time I go back to work, I'm feeling somewhat normal. Also, you know, I don't want to get coworkers sick. That's not cool. Not cool. As my buddy John Gale, he was going to a concert yesterday, and he didn't want to have to go back to... He lives in his sister's house. I think she lives over in Gerald. Like, he moved in with her fairly recently. But he was taking his daughter to a concert, and he didn't want to go back to, like, Gerald or wherever it is she lives. And we have showers at work, but I don't know. I feel weird showering at work, and I know that there's some dirty people there. Some dirty people, and just kind of awkward. I wouldn't want to shower at work. Well, yeah, you can go and shower at my place if you want. So I let him shower here. And I think I mentioned when he was over here a couple of weeks ago, the first thing he did when he came in was he shit in my toilet. And it was a bad shit, man. It was brutal. It's like, thanks, buddy. Now he's showering in my place. I feel like he's pretty much roommate at this point. He might as well just start moving in. It's like, oh, boy. I should have probably cleaned my shower the night before, though. But I had Third Thursday the night before, a group run, drinking with some buddies. You know, afterwards, which was fun. And, I didn't have time to clean the shower at all. I'm pretty bad about cleaning the shower. I'll admit it. But I feel like it's probably cleaner than the one at work. Just going to say, a bunch of welders showering. Seems nasty. Somebody's probably got athlete's feet in there. You know, they got some fungus on their feet. I don't have it on mine. I'd like to point that out, and I feel like you could get some nasty stuff on your feet. You're going to have some issues. But yeah, if you're, hey, man, I live right here. Go ahead. Use my shower. I don't know where I was going. Oh, one thing I did, Tony Jackman and Marcellus and Benjamin, my old roommates. They all came over for my birthday last Sunday, on my birthday, and they gave me some Reese's and a gift certificate for River City Music that I ended up using to go get some records. They wanted to give me some records, but they weren't sure what all I had as far as records. So they gave me a gift certificate to over there, which I was all for that. I like River City. I like supporting local businesses. So I went over there and I had found Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak. Great fucking album. Great fucking album. I love me some Thin Lizzy. And got Soundgarden's Super Unknown, which fucking, of course, an amazing fucking album. I mean, of course, the big ones that led to like big singles off that album, of course, Black Hole Sun, Spoon Man. I mean, there's just like top to bottom, that album's just fucking great. I mean, you got Fell on Black Days. My favorite though is The Day I Tried to Live. That's my favorite Soundgarden song all time. I was actually wanted to kind of get Down on the Upside, that album. I think that's the name of the album. It's got the song Down on the Upside on it. I know that. And Pretty Noose. Which is just kind of fucking weird to listen to Pretty Noose now, knowing that how Chris Cornell went out, hanging himself. That's kind of awkward, and it's awkward. The Day I Tried to Live is also the same kind of awkwardness-ish, because in the video, he like hangs himself with a microphone cord. So it's kind of got some darkness to it. But you don't hear that when you don't see it when you hear the song. Pretty Noose. Well, it's kind of in the lyrics. Though still a great fucking song. Love me some fucking Soundgarden. Love me some Soundgarden. They had Bad Moto Finger. They had Bad Moto Finger, Super Unknown, and then the, I don't know the name of the last album they put out, but the last album they put out was there. But I went with Super Unknown. I mean, I know from top to bottom, I used to listen to that album a lot. And I felt like I couldn't go wrong with that. It's a double LP. So, yeah, Soundgarden has that's the best part of like my downstairs area is I got the record player with a nice record player stand, the LED lights, Bluetooth speaker. I mean, it's not even just Bluetooth. I mean, you can direct line in with that. It's a nice fucking speaker I got there. It's I forgot the brand on that, but it's a decent speaker. It was cost me a couple $100 or so. I don't remember how much I spent on that. It's a solid speaker though, and my record player sounds really good hooked up to there. As I do still enjoy a good record. I haven't been listening to records a whole lot lately, but occasionally I like to put them on. I put some Thin Lizzy on the other day before getting that record. Yesterday actually, I put some Thin Lizzy on when John came over. I was waiting for him to take a shower, finish taking a shower, so I could take one. And then I put on some Thin Lizzy. You know, one of the greatest Irish bands to ever grace a stage or radio. It's the great Thin Lizzy. And no one can deny that. If they do, fuck them. Man, my throat is getting really sore. I'm surprised that I can still talk at this point, and why I'm continuing to make myself do it. It's like I hate myself. It's like, fuck you. You know what? Like, because I always try to shoot for an hour on these podcasts, and it's like I have to force myself to at least talk for an hour. And even though it's like my body's telling me, like, fuck you, what are you doing? It's like, no, we're doing this. We're going an hour in. We're doing it. It's going to make this happen. And I'm like calling myself out at this point. It's like, fuck you. You can do it. You can do it. Like Rob Schneider on, of course, The Water Boy. You can do it. I'm trying. I'll do it. I'll make it happen. Past that, I don't know what I've talked about tonight. I'm not sure what is new on the horizon as far as shit, anything really goes. But I did see the Beetlejuice 2 trailer. I did watch that. I didn't watch the trailer for Acolyte yet, the new Star Wars show. As I saw some screenshots of it. I am excited for the Beetlejuice 2, though. I mean, I love the original Beetlejuice. One of Tim Burton's classic films. And Michael Keaton's just fantastic in it. I love at the end of the trailer for Beetlejuice 2, where he's just, the juice is loose, which is, I'm pretty sure they used to say that about O.J. Simpson. They said, the juice is loose, when he would break free from a tackle and be out in the open field. But you gotta love Beetlejuice. The unrelated to OJ. I don't know that they put that in there, and I don't think they were probably like, yeah, let's use the OJ line. I would hope not. That wouldn't be their go-to reasoning behind all that. I would imagine Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin are probably not in it. I haven't actually looked. I guess I could IMDb this shit. But of course, they were in the original. See here, I'm spelling Beatles the wrong way. Beetleju- I started spelling Beetlejuice like, it's just Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice is the second one. I started spelling it like the Beatles spell Beetle. It's just ingrained in my brain, you know. That's how you spell Beetle. Oh no, the Wild are up 2-1 now. Son of a bitch. Oh, Beetlejuice has a wife in this. Interesting. I'm willing to bet at least Alec Baldwin's not in it. I'm assuming Gina Davis is not in it as well. But, you know, they're supposed to be when they were in the original. It, they did not. I mean, they were themselves at whatever age they died in. Would, you know, they'd have to, like, CG them and stuff, which isn't out of the realm of possibility these days. I mean, they do that stuff with, like, Indiana Jones and shit. But I know Alec Baldwin and, you know, he's had a bit of controversy. as, you know, he's got a lot of lawsuits going on with the whole death of the woman on the film shoot for Rust, as he shot the gun that killed that woman. Supposed to have blanks. There was not a blank. Yeah, I'm just looking it up. Yeah, apparently they're not in it. This is on Screen Rant. It says, while Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis are missing from Beetlejuice 2's returning cast members, the sequel's first teaser trailer confirms that their characters' absences can't go unexplained. Tim Burton's 1988 Beetlejuice movie starring Baldwin and Davis as the recently deceased married couple, Adam and Barbara Maitland, whose deaths left them trapped in their home with a new family very different from themselves, considering the Maitlands were still cohabitating with the Dietzes in Beetlejuice's ending and had another 125 years left in the home. The actor's Beetlejuice 2 absence has raised some important questions. So far, the only original cast members confirmed for Beetlejuice 2's story are Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, who still appear to own the Maitland's house in Winter River. However, while there's no sign of Baldwin and Davis in the upcoming sequel's promotional materials, the first trailer and images for Beetlejuice 2 feature a subtle nod to their characters from the original movie. Even if Baldwin and Davis don't reprise their roles as Adam and Barbara, these teases mean Tim Burton's 2024 horror comedy has to acknowledge their fates in some form. I mean, they're in the same house and stuff. They could still be in it. I mean, IMDb, Internet Movie Database. It's really hard to speak at this point. I don't think they have a full list of the actors in it, but you know, I don't think they usually do that until the movie's officially out. I mean, all we've had so far is a trailer, and I don't think movie studios just say everybody that's in it, especially if it's going to be a surprise. I mean, Baldwin still could be in it, or Davis, at least. They could have something. They could, again, computers, magic, you know. They could make that happen. Or for some reason, their ghosts are old now. They could make that a thing, somehow, some way. With Michael Keaton, I mean, he already is supposed to look like a old ghost. I mean, he's just like a dead person that looked rough anyway, so it's just a makeup thing. He just looked like Beetlejuice. You know what I'm saying? So that's not an issue. They didn't have to CG that. Yeah, I guess I'm good to go here. I made it over the hour mark. I've already said Beetlejuice too many times. He's probably going to appear up in my place here. He's going to show up. But I like Beetlejuice. You know? He's a fun dude. I guess that's all I've got. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.